Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Payray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Well, hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. It is 2021. So glad to be here. Glad to be recording again. I can tell you this. This is happening. One, I'm building a building with the podcast studio, so I'm going to have to record more at some point. But yeah, but special guest is Holly Bryant. Welcome to the show.
We're going to start the year off right. You picked the best.
I know.
For 2021.
First podcast of 2021. We got Holly here. Holly, give the listeners a little bit of a... Give them like the one minute pitch. Who is Holly? Why is Holly here? And then we're just going to dive into stuff.
Sure. Later. No pitch. I'll give you the who's Holly. Grew up in dentistry. Also grew up in the airlines. So I was doing both. Trying
were
to figure
really?
Out my life. Yeah.
Were you a pilot?
Flight attendant? No, I was.
Worked bag loader?
It was called a ramp rat.
No, you weren't.
I was.
You were a ramp rat?
For almost 5 years.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
Flew all over the country. My mom and I would go to... We'd fly out on a red eye and go to San Diego, go to the zoo, come back the next day.
Because you were a ramp rat.
I had free flights back in the day.
Is that hired by an airline or by an airport?
I was hired by the airlines. I worked directly for US Air.
Wow.
But it also got me into wanting to teach and train. I knew their computer system. And so...
That's hilarious.
I went around to the different airports and trained the system.
Yep.
And I was 18.
Wow.
So, that just kind of started just the passion.
You told me earlier you're from the Tri-Cities. Are you born and raised from the Tri-Cities?
Born and raised in Tri-Cities. So that's Kingsport, Johnson City, Bristol in Tennessee. And then when I was 18, I moved to Charlotte and moved from Tri-Cities Airport to the Charlotte Airport. Yeah. And I worked crazy hours, like 3:30 to whenever the last flight came in. And that wasn't really jamming for my life and my marriage. And I got married really young to a guy that worked for a race team. And my first husband worked for Dale Earnhardt. And so it was a crazy life. It was a high life. And for all of us to work, I needed to get rid of the airline job. So a family friend got me into their dental practice. And I started volunteering while I was at the airport, and I fell in love with dentistry. And I was making no money because I was working for free, trying to figure out if I liked it.
I love that. I call my mom keeps my sister's kids.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a family, a family, not controversy, but, family discussion, because we have to send Hugh to daycare because she can't keep my kids too. And
totally understand.
My mom always says she's working. I'm like, well, actually, you're volunteering. Because they're not paying you.
Right.
So it's a volunteer job. That's fine that you, I know you're busy, but let's be real, you're volunteering.
Yeah. So I was volunteering. Yes. So to find that out, right, I was volunteering at the dental office, and they liked my energy and they loved that I was a go-getter. So they offered me a job sterilizing instruments, and that led to them wanting to send me to school. So I went to Bowman Gray, went to school, became a dental assistant. A huge practice breakup. It was a three-doctor practice, big partnership controversy. So I went with the doctor who had the controversy, and we won't talk about what that was. And then I learned how to, spur of the moment, build a practice. All digital was back when Dexis and Eaglesoft just came out. So I'm old. And we built a practice from the ground up. We went to all these places looking at people's equipment. I really started learning the ins and outs of dentistry that way from the business side. We went to the Nash Institute for dental learning, and I met Ross and Deborah. We were students. That's how I met Ed Suh. That's how I met Ron Jackson. Met some really great people. Jack Shirley, superstars. Bruce Crispin.
I don't know any of these people.
These are
my dad probably knows them.
But these are superstars of dentistry. They were the ones who were on the forefront of cosmetic dentistry.
Pave the way.
They were the pavers. They were the ones who were...
See, like, we know, like, APA. That's
right.
Who, like, we know now.
Well, APA's partner, Larry Rosenthal, was a part of that group. They were the Fabulous Five. And I grew up under them. I grew up with cosmetic dentistry was at the forefront of my career. It was risky then.
Sure,
it was, people were getting turned in the board every day for doing conservative dentistry. So as a student, I learned it. Then I came back as a volunteer and I begged them. I love the culture. I love the energy. So I volunteered for about a year just cleaning up after the courses, just so I could be a part of that. And it was so thrilling and exciting. Well, Ross and Deborah were like, she ain't going away. It's like a little puppy sitting on a doorstep. I guess we'll take her. So they offered me a job and they put me through a ton of training for presenting dentistry, for speaking. And then they gave me this wonderful opportunity to learn, and they cultivated my career and kind of set me for years. I remember Ross, I would tell him, you're my top. There's nothing better than you, because that's all I ever knew. So then we went all around the country teaching and training, and that opened my eyes to something really big for knowing more and being more.
It's funny how our mindset really does limit our potential.
It limits your dreams.
Right.
It's not even potential. It limits your dreams. You can't dream past what your mind can hold.
Exactly.
And then when you get exposed to other things, you start going, wow, I could do this, or
you
I could
don't
do
know
this.
What you don't know.
Yeah. So I, Ross and Deborah, we built a new institute together. And then I built them a practice with them, but I built a one-out practice inside of a dental office when I was 25. And it was a rented chair for about $1,000 in a group practice. And we started doing cosmetic dentistry out of there. And one dental chair, no hygienist, no back teeth, only cosmetics. We did $1.2 million in 1 year. And that got a little people looking and going, wow, what are they doing? This is really awesome. So a guy down in South Carolina heard about me and saw me in Chicago midwinter teaching. And he was like, I've heard about you. And I had no clue who he was. Nothing. Wasn't even interested in looking him up to see who he was. I was so fulfilled. I couldn't even think about
it. Doing. Sure.
So for the next 6-8 weeks, he came after me. His wife came after me. Everybody came after me. And then finally I went and looked at his practice and I was like, you need help. And he's like, that's where you come in. So he offered me a job to manage his practice, and he had built a Taj Mahal practice, and I wanted that. So the hardest thing I ever did was to give my notice to Ross, because he was the man who helped save my life, because I was in pain, and he brought someone who could fix my pain problems with my TMJ, and that was Dr. Sua. He was the guy who was there when my dad died, and he hugged me and cried with me on the floor. So it was very emotional. I didn't want to leave. I still wish him happy birthday. I love him. Love him. Love Deborah. But I went across the state line to South Carolina, and that was Dr. Jeff Blank. I took him from 600 to 2 million in collections in 18 months. And he and I had a little 18-month agreement, and he said, I'm going to push you out of the nest in 18 months. And he did. He fired me.
That's amazing.
It was the most heartbreaking moment of my career.
Right.
Because I didn't have a job. But I did all this amazing stuff and I didn't have a job.
Right.
So this guy out in California, Bob Clark.
Well, because at this point you had been, really, you're an employee, everybody. You hadn't had that entrepreneur itch.
No itch.
Yeah.
But I helped them, helped Jeff. We built New Millennial Training Center and we were training doctors and traveling together and doing some cool stuff. Speaking together a little bit. Then this guy out in California calls me and he was my lab guy and loved him. Bob Clark. So Bob at Williams calls and says, hey, I got this dude I want you to meet. And I was like, what? He's down in Savannah, Georgia. I was like, nope, not living in Savannah. It's too hot. He's like, just do it. Just go for the meeting. So the guy called me, interviewed me. And he was like, just see what I got. I was like, if you don't have anything for me, I'm not coming down there. And he was like, come down here. Let's talk. So I went down there. And that was the big one. It was, I took a practice from 3 million to 5 million in 10 months. I built the niche. I helped him build his niche. I helped him come up with the facelift denture technique. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's when I got the itch. Too much wine, sitting on the back porch, talking about life.
It's funny
talking
how that
about
starts,
stuff,
doesn't it? I've had a couple of things happen that way.
But it didn't happen on the job. It happened after work. It happened with dreams. It happened with stuff.
Sure.
And asking with somebody who said, what do you want to do with your life? I was like, I thought I'm doing life. What are you talking about? I thought I was doing life. In the midst of all this, I got divorced. You know, a couple of fun things going on there. And I just kept learning. I was a student. I begged my way into LVI. I didn't have a dentist to go with me. So I went through the LVI courses by myself.
How did that go?
I'm bold enough. I'm kind of brash. So I sent Bill Dickerson an email, told him my situation and begged my way out there. And he was like, I don't know about you, but Bob vouched for me and he let me come.
That's pretty cool.
So that was really cool. And so I was a student. So I was a pain patient first, then I became a student, and then I became an educator. And we had a great year, but the big was the itch. And one day I just looked at Brad and said, I need to do my own thing. I'm doing your consulting. I'm doing your training. I'm selling your dentistry. I'm managing your businesses. It's great, but I want this now.
Sure.
So I loaded up the truck and moved back to Tennessee. I slept on my mom's couch for a year and a half.
See, you're not that much different than a millennial.
Right?
We do the same thing.
I know. I slept downstairs in the basement. So my brother had a marketing degree, so I asked him to help me. So I'm going to give him 10% of everything I brought in the first year, and 10% of zero sounded pretty appealing.
At the beginning, you're like, this is a deal for me.
It was a deal. It was the best deal of my life.
Because
I was betting on nothing, and I was going to give him nothing. So he helped me. I just started calling people, telling them what I was doing, and telling them what I could do. And I think that was the hardest year of my life. I worked my ass off. I worked longer, harder. I was working 90, 100 hours a week, if there was any. Didn't sleep, didn't eat, didn't, no boyfriends, just physically right. working on things. And that brought me to a realization of how hard it is to make a business and grow a business. So I did. It was big. It was gut-wrenching, but the Lord provided. All my bills got paid, and my brother made a good amount of money from his 10%.
Yeah, that's the best part about it.
And then I had to end that. I was like, okay, we got to renegotiate the terms of this contract. We can't do this anymore. So that's what started Bryant Consultants. And I know that's a crazy long story, but it's got lots of intricate parts that are super important to me.
Well, and I want to dig into some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny.
To me, what's interesting is, when you look at people who have kind of, because on some level, you're a really cool success story, in my opinion, right? I mean, this little girl from the Tri-Cities, who is the ramp girl.
Yeah, the ramp rat.
Ramp rat.
That's right. Call it what it is, ramp rat.
Years later, ups, downs, what have you, cool experiences, has her own business, running her own business, happy, and that's cool. And so I think it's not that much different than how most people who listen to this show start their careers, right? Like most people are... they're graduating, they're new in ownership, they're an associate trying to figure out what the heck they're going to do. And when I look at how do people get from A to B, there tends to be two things that I see that help people, especially get them faster. One is an ability just to grind.
Got to be able to do whatever the job takes.
Whatever it takes.
Front to back, however many hours it takes.
They put in the time. And the other one, to me, it's grinding. And the other one is they basically put themselves out there.
Yeah. Vulnerability.
Vulnerability. That's the word I'm looking for.
Everybody's so afraid to fail.
Yeah. And so and I think that's probably the bigger one.
But my coaching style is you're going to fail. You're going to fail so many times. And we're going to fail every day. But if we learn from the failure and we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, we stay humble. That's huge.
Because my thing's always been I love what I do and I love being in an ownership role because, and partly some of the reason you love probably doing what you do now. And that's because at the end of the day, I'm betting on myself. And I can sleep really good at night knowing that if push comes to shove, if bills got to get paid, I'm not relying on someone else to provide for me and to produce for me, that I'm the one that controls, my ability to work hard and get after it.
Absolutely. That's what I bet on. So that's, so digging in, let's dig deeper. So I have 7 family members that work with me.
No way.
Not for me, with me. So the first year consulting, second year consulting, third year got married. So that's a fun story.
Where are we timeline? How long have you been consulting? How long have you been
15 years.
15 years.
13.
13.
13 alone. So the first three.
So that means that puts you at...
old.
That's not old. What I was. I'm thinking about, you started this then in 2008?
Yep.
So right after the markets crashed.
Market did crash.
Market has crashed.
Market crashed. I opened my LLC. 8, 9 was, so 9, I left Brad. 10, and I was doing part of it with Brad, but 9 was leaving and I was off and running. 2009,
2008. And then it has to be hard, too, because coming off 2007, like, I have to imagine in dentistry, most dentists are not growth-minded at this point.
No.
They are penny-pinching.
No, yeah.
They do not want to spend money on coaches, consultants, whatever you want to call it. They're like...
And eight people needed help.
More than ever on some level. Yeah.
But a lot of people... they think coaching is because they're in trouble. Coaching is because you got to grow and you don't know how to grow. So my clientele are the people who bet on themselves. If you can't bet on yourself and you don't think you're a winner or you're going to win.
Sure. Yeah.
Then you're not a good candidate. They just don't know
how to get there.
Right. But you're not a good candidate for me.
Totally.
Because I'm a growth coach. Right. I want to grow you and sustain you. I want to build you a core. And I want to build you the core team and the core values. And then I want to help you grow that in every single avenue of your life. So some of it's your personal life coaching and to grow your balance, your family, to give you that. I want to grow your days off, not on. I want to grow your wallet. So I want to grow your financial wealth. And then once we grow your financial wealth, it opens up opportunities doors. So that's the tagline of my company is opening opportunities doors, because that's what my job is to do. Is my job is to help you meet your need and then help you dream your dream and then help you embody a bigger dream if that's what you want. My dreams sometimes are bigger for my clients than their dreams because they can't see what I see because I'm looking at it from the outside in. But I don't just overwhelm them. I expose them slowly to ideas that then grow their wealth. And then we talk about the second and the third and the fourth phase. We end up growing to legacy. I've had clients that have been my clients for 13 years.
So let me ask you this. So
yeah, go back. Ask.
I want to, because I think this whole thing is cool. Anyways, where do you start with people? Holly comes in.
I start with people the same way. I start with people the same way I started with myself, which was build a core. I got to start with coming in. We do a jump start. And we find out what all the problems are.
Okay,
but then we don't make new problems. My rule of thumbs is you don't open a can of worms you can't shut. So if I found fraud in your office, we're not talking about that day if I can't shut that can.
Sure.
No. And those are not easy conversations to have. So you have to navigate and do investigation. So I build the core the way I built my company.
On some level, the first step one is stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. I stopped the bleeding. So same philosophies. I never ask doctors to do things I'm not doing. So how I run my million-dollar company is how I ask you to run yours. Right. You're a family-owned business. So I would never, I know how you feel because I'm a family-owned business. We have internal family fights, but we also have rules and guidelines and we have contracts to help us to navigate through that. So you can still act and behave family and embody those values, but you still protect your ass with contracts and documents because we're still a corporation or we're still a business.
And I think dentists notoriously are bad about that.
That's because dentists started small and grew big. And you started small, so you grew up with a family of people that work with you. And as you got bigger, you had to embody different structures. And those structures squeeze played some of your
we've noticed that
personal relationships.
That. When you have seven people an office of one doctor, five, six, seven people, there's a lot less happening.
Right. So watch what happens. So I have one client. He started with basically a folding chair in a little dungeon space. And it was him, a front desk girl, and an assistant. No, he did his own hygiene. Now he has 17 employees and two locations. So you can't run 17 and two the same way we ran three. Because three is we stand in the hallway and we go, what are you doing? What are you doing? All good. We're good. But when you have 17 in two locations, you can't even ask if everybody's good. So we have to come up with structures that build and keep growing the foundation based on the values. So we start with jump starts. Jump starts give us a look around. It gives us a chance to check each other out, sniff everybody's butts, see how we all feel about each other. It allows everybody to get their guard down a little bit because team members are guarded. They're like, oh, no. Because their past experience dictate where they're at right now and how they feel about their future and how they feel about somebody coming in. So it's a lot of the first days is a lot of personalization of things. We don't do training till day three. The second day, I'm trying to make people's lives a little better showing them, well, you, if this happened, these things would
right.
happen.
Right.
So we're fixing small things everywhere. Everybody gets a small something worked on to make their life better.
How does the team typically respond when someone comes in outside the practice with ideas, thoughts, et cetera?
Well, my first, it has to be their own idea, right?
Oh, I get that.
Tarun Agarwal taught me that. It has to be their own idea. It has to be their idea. So when I say, wow, you had such a good idea, that's, we should develop that. I'm the helper to develop their idea. I'm the voice that helps them speak their idea. So then I can translate to them what's going on.
T-Bone's, he's really gifted at that.
So my gift came, listen, so we live a life of hard knocks, right? So my first husband was exactly like me. We were gasoline and fire. It became a very competitive relationship because we were both extroverts. We both have really big dreams and strong beliefs. And anything he could do, I could do better. He was competitive. I was competitive. And so it just became a competition that crashed and burned. And then I found someone who complimented me. And when I found someone who was the exact opposite of me, but we had things in common, then I became a whole. And I started seeing things very, very differently in life because I saw a different side of the coin. So now every time I'm coaching, I'm looking at all sides. And then if I feel stuck, I'll bat an idea off my husband because he's exactly the opposite
right.
of me.
Right.
And I asked him, where is he stuck at? I need to know right. where you're stuck. Where did you stop listening to me? And he'll tell me where he stopped listening. And I'm like, damn, I got to fix that.
Yeah, because otherwise we're really good. Because we're similar in that nature, right? Personality-wise, like we're very, very similar. So what I find is like the employees who are like me, I work with really well from a coaching standpoint. Right. They don't do what I want them to do, et cetera.
They work at your pace.
The ones that are not like me.
Frustrate the shit out of you.
Yeah, and I frustrate the shit out of them, right?
Because, but yet you have to have them.
Totally. And that's the other thing. My dad jokes all the time because he's like, if the entire office was like you.
We would never get shit done, ever.
It would kill everybody.
We would all.
I mean, it would be like
the best day ever. We might possibly be drunk at the end of the day.
100%.
But we would have the best abs ever because we would belly laugh all day long. Oh. So we attract people like us. So the doctors that I work with are like me because I can do them, but I understand their problems the very best because they're like me.
But that also makes your job then, hard because then you have to relate to the other people.
But then it makes my job easy with them because. Yes, I know totally. How to relate to those people right. because I live with that opposite personality. Right. So it's a good combination. It's a neat, but we disprofile people. You know, I spend time, I've got a big disclaimer on all my surveys that are digital for the team members, you know, that I'll quit if I release any of their private information. I will quit. They can get me fired. I tell the doctor, your team's going to tell me some stuff. And I will tell you personally if it is putting your business at risk. So if it's a lawsuit, it's a liability problem, if anything's going to happen, I'm going to tell you what that problem is.
Sure.
But if it is something that's internal, that is of none of your business, but it's happening in your office, you got to let me help them. Yeah, let me fix that and let me help them help each other. So give me that trust. Let me talk to the team. Let me work with their surveys and work through those. So I survey my doctors. I survey the team. We bring it all together. We come in 3 days. First day observed, second day, little problems. Thursday, we're coaching, or the third day, we're coaching. The day before we coached that night, I'm with the doctors. We're going through my punch list. What are you good with? What can you not be good with? What's going to hurt you? What's not going to hurt you? And then we find the core thing that makes them the most money. Because my job is to immediately give you an increase because you will not trust me if right. your numbers don't
totally.
Go up.
Totally get that. Yep.
So I get you an increase. We monitor it for 60 days and I'm on, off, video, whatever, with all the team. They have total access to me for the next 60 days. By 60 days, you either are like, whoa, that was awesome. Thanks. Have fun. Best gift ever. Or you're like, dude, we got to do this. And we're doing something. I'm not a pressure salesman. So I feel like if I lead people to the water and they want to drink, they're not ready to drink. But if I lead you to the water and you want to drink it like a fire hose, let's get going. You know, drip, let's get going. But if you want nothing, you know, I'm still your friend. We'll circle back a couple times. I'll follow you. I'll keep dripping information to you. Not by personal email. If I give out a document, I'll be like, hey, I don't know if this works for you. It's not a pressure thing. I've got people who did a jump start and they're still living off the jump start love 5 years later.
Yeah. And some of that's probably the best place for them to be because that's
right. But that's where they're at.
Yeah.
Then there's other people who are like, today, let's go. Right. And I'm like, not yet.
Right.
No, no. Let's do the 60 days. Let it simmer a little bit.
I've kind of realized that people got to be ready. And it's like,
they got to be ready.
Right. And it's like what we do with, I've kind of, you know, when I first started practicing, I was so gung ho about trying to convince my patients that everything that they needed right then.
Right.
Right. And I never asked them what they wanted to do.
Right.
What they wanted to do with their smile.
You were just so excited about right now.
But yeah. And I would see the dentistry and the potential, what could happen. Right. But like, I never really looked at, you know, how that dentistry fit into their life and what their, you know, what were their external things happening. Whereas, you know, fast forward, it's like, it's become so much more freeing, but it's also relieving to know that, hey, it's important that we like give patients their options and they know what's going on.
Sure.
But the beauty of that is I end things now, with my consults, I say, you know, we can do some of this, none of this, or all of this.
Right.
And we can do it as slow, as fast as you want. You know, that's kind of how I've now ended my consults. Cause like, look, at the end of the day, I don't care. You know, here's what we can do. Here's what you got.
Right.
It puts the ball in their court and it's been so much more relieving. And I've had so many patients say yes more, or I didn't run them off cause I pushed too hard.
Yeah. They're in your pipeline. They're just not
today.
And then
they come down the ride. Right.
So for me, I basically take everything I do in my business and everything you do in your business. And
they're not that much different.
They're not different at all. So what I do is I say, okay, I give doctors their language. So in a new patient consult, the first thing we do is screen, right? So we take a phone call, we screen.
Sure.
That's what I do with my doctors. You're interested in me? Yeah, let's talk. We pick up the phone, we talk.
Right.
Then they tell me their poop. And then I'm like, hey, fill some of these surveys out for me.
Yeah.
That's new patient paperwork, right?
Right.
Fill these out.
Yeah, yep.
That way I can compare what he told me on the phone to what everybody's saying in writing. And I'm like, this ain't work. This is not right. And it allows me to start sifting. And we do some sifting. Then we meet. So if you enroll in the Jumpstart, we're on site meeting. Well, we're filling out paperwork. I'm answering questions. We do the Jumpstart. That's the consultation, right? That's the consultation and the new patient exam. And then I'm given my treatment plan. My treatment plan doesn't come that day. My treatment plan comes 30 days later, maybe, while we're doing that support. So that way I have time to think about it. So I'm like, Bob, these are the things I see. These are the things we're going to work on. You know, I'm going to get you this increase. So I'm fixing their fire. Isn't that when somebody has an immediate problem? If you don't address it, what happens? They can't hear anything else you say. So when somebody says, I need you to come fix my front desk. If I don't give them some front desk fixes, they can't hear anything.
Just like the patient walks in, they got gum disease everywhere, broken teeth all in the back. And they're like, number 8 doesn't get fixed right now.
Or I want whitening.
Right. Yeah. If you don't give them a little bit of what they want, they're gone.
They're not going to listen.
Yep.
So give them a little what they want. We get some fixes. We get some numbers up. Then we can really start co-discovering, co-diagnosing things. And then they're ready to hear the whole path. So in my dental career, you know, my case acceptance was about 87%. My average case was about 50 grand. No problem. I mean, I sold $1,900 a tooth, and then you pay the lab fee with the lab bill of $4,000 when it comes in. That's how Ross did it.
Right.
When I went on down, we did the same. And then when on Brad's, his average cases were 60 grand. So if you can't sell that and you can't believe in you, so I was preconditioned for doing this.
Yeah.
But I can relate it to the things you guys are doing because I've been you in dentistry, been you illegally in dentistry with my Mexican license, but I've also been you in dentistry because I get it.
You can do anything in the Tri-Cities.
You can do anything in Mexico.
This is true. Legitimately.
Legitimately. So anyways, but you also can do anything when you have trust of people and we have a really good relationship. My docs, my docs who I get early on in life, we're able to push a lot more triggers faster and grow their wealth and then look at legacy stuff earlier in their life.
Well, and I've kind of been a big proponent of that too, because the challenge, this is one of my pet peeves, I guess, right now in general in dentistry, is that most young doctors, they graduate, we got a tough time with student loans, tough time with trying to find jobs, good jobs, you know, corporates put a lot of competition on what you can make kind of coming out, but then that feeds people into corporate, which isn't necessarily the great positions to be for mentorship and growing. And then they go and get all their information on Facebook which half the time are dumpster fires. And it's the same 50 people or so, you know, of which we are those people, you know, who are, you know, and of those people, the majority of us all have some kind of back end or some kind of like, you know, something going on. And so it becomes very, and they don't realize that what's happening in your first year of ownership, your those first 2 years of being a dentist, those kind of things are setting, that's the most important time. I mean, those are setting the fundamental foundations to what you do going
forward. Let's deconstruct that one idea. Corporate, private practice. Which one? Private practice.
I always vote private practice, right?
Because you have a more intimate opportunity of relationship-based stuff, mentorship, learning the ins and outs of the business. So I said, what is the biggest obstacle for a young grad getting out of school? You said it. What's the biggest obstacle?
Loans is what they think it is.
That's what they think it is. So guess what I do? I've written 4 contracts in the last 2 years.
For loan repayment.
For loan reimbursement instead of bonuses. You meet this number?
I think it's a great idea.
So I'm gonna pat on you for 90 days. Then you're going to go to commission. You hit these numbers. Every month you hit a number, I pay your loan.
That's great.
You hit that number 12 months in a row, your loan's repaid 12 months in a row. You do it for 10 years. You do it for 2 years. Do it for whatever. We write it for loan reimbursement.
No, that's great.
Because then I take that off the table. Why do people go into public health in poor rural areas?
Yeah, to get their loans repaid, to get forgiveness.
Because they need that off their plate, because that's the most important fire for them.
And that's what's sad right now, is that drives the decision-making of young graduates and new dentists.
So now I want you to take that young graduate and let that young graduate be in your dental practice as a new patient. That one objection they have, that one main concern. The rest of their mouth may be damaged as hell, but number 8, need you to fix 8. So if I can't fix 8, they're never going to learn or hear. We're never going to be able to rebreed a culture that our parents grew up in. Your dad has taught you the relationship culture. He's taught you the authenticity and the importance of being personable, right? And those are gifts that you've now given other doctors. But if you didn't grow up in there, if you just started in corporate, would you have that?
No.
And then what kind of doctor would you be?
Not a very good one.
But you wouldn't be as much relationship driven if that wasn't in your environment. We are a product of our environment. So if we're in a corporate setting, and all we're doing is corporate, and everything's a little colder. That, if I do that 8 hours a day.
Oh my gosh, that wears on you. That becomes who you are, becomes your norm.
Right. And if it becomes my norm, do I not carry it outside of 100%. My dental world? And now it becomes my relationship world with my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my spouse, my partner, whatever you are. But it also is how you treat your kids. It affects your environment. So I'm like, let's just deal with number 8. Let's take that off the table. And now let's look at these opportunities. I've hired better people with that one tiny concept.
No, that's a great point.
You'll use it.
Oh, of course I'll use it. You know why I'm good at what I do, Holly?
Why?
I'm good at what I do, both clinically, everything, because I love to learn.
Every time
I interact with anybody, I'm like, what pearl can I take
from them?
What today, pearl can I take?
Every person I touched today taught me something.
Right. And if I can take the best from Holly, the best from T-Bone, the best from Dad, the best from whoever, then it's like cheating.
Why would
you reinvent the wheel
that button on Staples that says easy.
Because the reality is, very few people reinvent completely new concepts, right? And we can say what we're doing is our own, but like,
that's not our own.
Someone in another industry, like, not, no, what there's a saying, like, nothing is new under the sun.
But that's also why I don't, like, listen, I brand my stuff, but if somebody
asks me
for
it,
but I don't mind giving
it
to people.
Right.
Like, you want something?
Because at the end of the day, your stuff is you.
Right.
And that people can't sell.
Right.
They can't copy that.
Right.
And I'm with you 100% on that.
But I want to give. I don't care who you are, because I don't know how that's going to touch somebody else's life.
Totally.
And if I took a test, I'm a connector. I connect people. I connect people to people to people. You know, we laugh. I went by and I saw Brian Devine today. He's over here in Green Hills. And I looked at him and I said, I need to thank you. And he said, what for? And I said, because you got one of my clients in North Carolina, the best associate ever. I feel it. It's happening. And I said, it's all because of you. It's all because you begged me to talk to her and just be her friend and be her mentor, because we interviewed her. And I said, and you brought her to me over and over again. And she is now right now in California taking care of one of my clients doing maternity leave while her husband's in a residency program. So 3,000 miles. So I look at this stuff and I'm like, dang, 3,000 miles. When I tell people my story and my family, the Lord moved a mountain that was 3,000 miles tall because my mom met my husband in California with my sister while she was with my sister at a corporate event. My mom is talking to my inebriated husband going, you'd be good for my daughter. You need to like her on Facebook. Get that friend request. And my sister's sitting there going, don't do it. Train wreck. She lives in her mom's basement. Don't do it. Just don't. And I took the friend request because I got a request and my mom said, you do this. And she sent me a nasty message to tell me, you like this boy on Facebook. And then he friended me and then he creeped me. And then we were talking.
We creeped each other. That was Tinder before Tinder.
It was, but it was, we talked and but that's how it is. And it was like, how in the world did a gentleman from North Carolina end up in California?
Right.
To meet somebody from Tennessee.
It's crazy.
It's insane. But I'm a connector. I love relationships. I love people. I love that part. And that part is when you start looking at people and understanding what their values are and what's important to them, you can help them get there. But then you can help them get so much farther past there. But it just has to come in layers. And so I build a core. If you were a dentist, this is what I would tell you. So we've talked about the new patient process. Now I'm going to talk to you about like a server. If you were going to build your technology, you talk to your Surf CT or whoever does your stuff, you have to tell them your bigger plan.
Sure.
Because they're going to build you a server that can house the bigger plan, right?
Which let me interrupt for a minute, is one of my biggest problems I have with the majority of the coaching consulting market is that a lot of people they never ask, what do you want? Like they just go into, this is what you need to do, and then put you into their plan and their stuff, and it becomes wash, rinse, repeat of like, and I'm not saying that like inevitably I just have to get them to do that. But again, it's driving it through the nature of what their global.
So it's your plan. Problem, right?
Right.
So it's your number eight. So we talk about the number eight, and then I say, can I tell you what I see for you? Would you mind? And I get permission. So if you don't want to hear it, they're like, no, I'm not ready for that. Okay, no problem. Tell me when you're ready. But when you say, what do you think? What do you see? Then I say, this is what I see, and this is how I can see it worked out over the next 4 years. But these are the steps you're going to have to take. My mind works with bubbles and maps and stuff. I don't know. The Lord's given me a gift. So I use it. So I build a core, and then we start, if we hit this benchmark, it opens this door. Opportunity's door keeps opening. But your mind can't handle that. If you can't make the first benchmark, how can you go to year five? So when people go, God, you're just taking people's money, because I used to think that about consultants. How can you be a consultant for all these years and there's this? Well, for me, the only thing is this. All my contracts are open-ended. You hire me, you fire me, but I can hire you and I can fire you.
Sure.
So if you don't want to live up, I don't want your money. Money's not what drives me.
Right.
I need money. We all need money. I need it for the stock market. But we need
GameStop.
We got a story. So anyways, my brother sold 800 shares on Friday and he made $13,000. If he would have kept them till Monday, he would have made $500,000.
But that's one of those that like, it sucks, but it doesn't suck, right?
I mean,
like,
it sucks, but what are you supposed to feel there? Are you supposed to feel pain or pleasure? Oh my God, I made $13,000.
I think you have to feel pleasure.
I should have made $500,000. Pain, pleasure. I don't know.
But
that's crazy, right? A little SMM for the stock market. Oh, it's crazy. It's so horrible.
What's crazy to me is the censoring that's happening now with the stock market.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's just crazy, but I digress.
Hey, listen, I do stocks only because my husband is a day trader on the side and he loves it. Yeah. And I love the backstory. I love the Wikipedia of
what happens,
who owns the company, who's in the company. I need to know where they come from, because then it helps me to know their values and if I want it. So that's how we talk. But yeah, that's so. That's how we do it. And, you know, I've got some clients that, I've come in and we've done some, I had a one client down in Knoxville. He said, come fix my front desk. That was his fire. I was like, sure. Came down there, fixed his front desk. And there were so many other problems, but I fixed his front desk a little bit. His front desk was bound by all these other problems in his office. But I just didn't start fixing them. I exposed him to them and I said, but I'm going to fix your front desk because that's what's important to you. He's like, that's not important to me anymore. We got to fix all this.
Sure.
So we started. And now, you know, we're on year 7. Dear friend now. I use him for mentorship. He's smart. I'm smart. I need him because he's smarter than me. He thinks that I'm smarter than him. So he needs me because he thinks I'm smarter than him.
The tide rises all ships.
It keeps. So we are, we took his practice from a 2-doctor practice to a 3-doctor practice. We took him from 7 ops to, he has 11 upstairs. We made another LLC and built 2 downstairs. That's out of network. And that's what we do, like sleep and babies and myofunctional out of. But it's all in one building. It's just 2 entrances. We saved a community practice that was in a medical break. There was a female dentist that had just a breakdown. And so we went in and saved that. And that was our first buy. And we bought the practice and we turned around, bought the building 6 months later. And we took it from $500,000 to $1.2 million. And then I was coaching that. And then we did a build out, a brand new build, did a startup. And we did that one. And they only work 8 days a month there. And that one's doing insane because it's 2 mature dentists. So they work 8 days a month. It's open 4 days a week. Nobody, I mean, the phones are answered all the time, but we only do dentistry in there 8 days a month. So they have like $15,000 days. And so he did that with his buddy. He was 65. Building a new building, is having some fun. And then now we're getting ready to work on another break. That's about an hour away, bad, tragic emergency practice. And we're going to buy the building and buy the practice. We've looked at a bunch. And then we bought a building. We bought a couple houses, but you can't do any of that stuff. Can't do any of that stuff. Those can be dreams, but you can't do any of those things until you hit those marks that give you safety. Everybody needs safety. You hit that financial mark and you can provide for your family, you hit another plateau. When you hit that mark and your team's winning and they're cared for, bills are getting paid for, the lake house getting paid for, you're ready for the next one.
Well, and it's all about getting out of the survival mode.
Yeah, you got
to
get
you got to get into a point where you can like breathe for a minute.
And we don't do it for like 6 months. Like you can't be 6 months thriving and get out of those debts.
Right.
You've got to be about 2 years thriving and then we're ready. With all that discretionary income, we've filtered it through IRAs and we filtered it through different savings options and pay downs, and then we're ready to go buy something. And so it's not a wait until you get one paid off to get the other. So it's not like 30 years.
Right.
They're plateaus, and these plateaus are building blocks and opportunities, doors that just keep creeping open. And as those creep open, what happens is you're spinning a bunch of plates at the same time. You start getting your education better, start delegating more. You start doing these things to still be the same CEO that you want to be.
I love it.
So
let me ask you this.
That's what it goes for.
Let's wrap up with this question.
Yeah, go ask.
New graduate, new associate. What's your best advice?
I got a bunch.
Here we are.
That's a whole episode, dude.
I know it is, but give me the one thing that you're like, gosh, here's what I feel like. Or let me ask it better this way. As someone looking for associates for your doctors.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you're looking for in a new graduate or a new associate or someone looking for a job?
One, I want them in debt because if they're not in debt, I don't feel like they're hungry. So if there's a little spoon in your mouth, I'm worried. So then I start asking other questions. Do you own your car? Do you have a house? Do you got a girlfriend? Does she like great wine and great food? Where'd she come from?
You need them to be.
Is she from the country or the city? How's her mom? How's her dad? I can dig.
Right.
Just like you can't ask about whether you smoke or sexual preferences when you're hiring somebody, but your consultant can.
Right. Classic.
I can ask all that. You're like boys, girls, both. what we got going on here?
Right.
As I looked at this and you know, I saw this and does this match this? I was looking at your newsfeed on Facebook and it says you do this.
Right.
Do you do that?
Is that real?
Real? Or do you Photoshop that?
You know that it's a public profile. Right.
Like, you know, you're interviewing with me today. So with my new grads, what I'm looking for is, you know, I'm looking for somebody that wants the mentorship, that wants the private practice as a long-term goal. I'm looking for someone that wants feedback daily. Like, you suck. You just got your driver's license.
Being teachable has been one of the number one biggest things that I can say has been successful.
But everybody says they're teachable.
Right. No, I agree with you that.
But I compare, you know, Dennis, you all just got the license to drive. You were told not to kill people. They put you behind this huge responsibility car and they said, good luck.
Right.
Now you got to learn to drive. And you're never going to be great year one at everything. You may be good at dentistry because your hands came in and things are good. But you may be great at that. Your verbal skills suck. Your management of team sucks. You can't talk to your doctor. So being teachable is huge. Knowing kind of where you want to go, what you think you might be interested in. I want somebody who tells me, man, I want to figure it out. When somebody tells me they already have it figured out and I look and you're 25 years old, no freaking way. I'm not interested in you because you don't have it figured out. Unless you grew up on a farm and had a hard damn life and you baled hay and you raised tobacco.
Then maybe you're a step ahead of the rest.
I grew up in barn life. That's where my work ethic came from.
Right.
I stood in a barn shucking tobacco or whatever you want to call it.
Not to mention being a ramp rat.
That's right. Hard ass work and living up to that. So I was challenged by those men that could lift 200 pounds and I was 95 pounds wet. Trying to lift 200-pound suitcases and golf clubs and bicycles and caskets.
Really?
Right? And mail. How you think your mail gets across the country?
That's true.
How you think a dead body gets across the country? Yeah. Right under the belly of the airplane. So I look for people with that work ethic. I'm not going to discriminate against you if you didn't grow up on a farm.
No, sure.
But I want that desire.
There's a hunger there. You're looking for hunger, basically.
You have to want to figure it out, not already have it figured out. So if you come to me and you're solely and you already got it figured out and you just got out of school and you tell me I'm going to do this and this and this and this, I'm like, what?
Right. Look at that.
You need to be a business owner and go ahead and get you a practice because you know exactly where you're going.
That was probably me, by the way.
Yeah, but you had your dad going, you're stupid, son.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Get your ass in here and work. 100%. Right? But we need those people in our life.
We do.
And I want to know what kind of groups and study clubs you're in now or what you're trying to do to create a community to support you. Because you have to have a community. You have to have an army. Just like us having an army to raise our kids. I need an army to raise a dentist because you don't know it all. You're going to have a file break in a root canal tooth. You know, you're going to have a patient who turns you into the board or threatens it and scares the crap out of you. You're going to get a bad Google review. You freak out. So if everything like that created a reaction, what would happen? So you need that mentorship in your life. You need that support system. So I like that. I also like people who can carry on a conversation. Because if you can't talk to me and we're one-on-one and I can talk to a wall, then you are going to have a really difficult time talking to the patient that you're trying to win over and want a relationship with. So win me over. And then we'll go to the next step.
And then we'll go to the next step.
If you can't even talk to me on the phone and there's like a lot of dead air, I'm worried. Aren't you worried? So I'm like, I don't need to meet you because you got to have that social energy to be successful. There was this guy in North Carolina. He was the best talker. Smooth. It's not T-bone. He was a smooth talker. He was the worst dentist I've ever met in my life. He made one shade of crown. It was A35. The crown didn't fit. He had hollowed the middle out, six more cement in it. He was filthy rich because he could just talk to people.
Right, right. Yeah. And I believe that. Yeah.
He could just talk. I'm like, man, 80% of your job is verbal skills.
Communicating.
How many dentists out of your whole career in dental school or your whole career in dental school, out of dental school, how many years of verbal skill training did you get?
Oh, none.
Right?
Right.
But 80% of your job is that.
Well, yeah, totally.
Like, right. I don't even care about the business shit anymore. You always hear people lecturing about that. Oh, screw that. Let's just go to verbal skills.
Yeah.
Not a class with Paul Homley for 2 hours.
Right.
I need like 2 years of it. Every year, every school should be having it. Because if you can't talk.
I'm working that with our new hygienist right now.
But if you as a dentist can't talk, how can you even train your hygienist?
Oh, totally.
So then what do you hire? You hire somebody who can talk.
Right.
So then you limit yourself from 2/3 of the market because who are they going to learn from? So then when you come to me and you say, oh my God, my girls, and I'm so pissed at this, I'm so pissed at that, I'm like, let's go to the top. What about you? Start right there. How's your leadership? Talk to me about your verbal skills. They're listening to you every day, every second, in every room you're in. So how you act, how you behave, how you lead in the hard situations, that's where the learning is. The learning's not in the good glory, right? We can all fist bump and chest bump when we sell 50 grand. But what happens when we're having a bad month and everybody's afraid for their job? Who's leading? Is it you? Or if you're sitting over there, oh my God, I'm going to pay my bills. I'm so scared. What kind of energy are you giving to your team? They're like, oh my God, it's my paycheck going to bounce. My paycheck bounced 3 times in my career. And you know what? Do you know why I left and went somewhere else?
Because you wanted to get paid.
Because my safety was gone.
Yeah.
The thing that I depended on to pay and feed my family was gone. Through one paycheck bouncing,
I immediately got nervous.
The second time, I was in that fright or flight stage.
Well, and the problem is
the third time,
it was like, I'm gone.
I can't. It was not, I'm gone. I can't. I love you, but I can't. Because my family has to be fed.
Right.
So safety, and you guys, I love y'all, but y'all suck at safety.
Oh, I agree.
People, as an owner and a leader, you can't be a leader and say, I'm a leader, and boss people around without giving them the safety. So that's what I look for.
It's good. Polly, yeah. This has been fun.
Yeah.
We need to do this more often.
We should. I'm still here tomorrow.
Make a monthly Holly
podcast. We should, because I would love to, you know, these young guys, I'm young, y'all are young. I'm a little older than some of you all.
You're young.
But you're
young.
But there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of hard lessons I've learned and a lot of things I've seen. So I want to talk about profit sharing one day. I want to show you all my bonus program.
Need to do that.
I think that needs to also have.
Especially since I'm trying to do it.
We should try to have a video attached to it so then everybody can understand it. We can whiteboard it out one day.
Oh, yeah.
Love to do some of that with you all. Love to share some knowledge, some skills. Let's have some fun. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here.
Holly,
Thank you.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to
They don't want to get in touch with me. They want to get in touch with you.
They already know how to get in touch with me.
So here's the deal. If you want to get in touch with me, you got to call Sully, because Sully's got to give you the heads up. You got to know what you're getting into. So if you talk to Sully, talk to T-Bone,
I'll get you your info.
You'll give it only if you've been vetted.
Yeah, if you're not crazy.
You gotta do it.
Everybody, enjoy your rest of your day and work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.